Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me here today to encourage you is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And of course, our friend and yours, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, sir.
What's up, man?
I'm happy to be here.
Hey, I'm happy to be here too. My goodness, listen, if you've missed some of our programs, of course, you know, we're four programs back to back. And, you know, in one of our previous programs, we talked about how heaven is for real. Mm-hmm. We talked about the movie. We're going to be talking about how heaven is for real today, but you know what else is for real? Hell is for real too. And we're going to be talking about hell. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about the realities of hell because, you know, heaven is one choice, but hell is another choice. These are choices. I mean, God, you know, puts it in front of us. Which way do we want to go? And so we're going to talk about a little bit about hell. We're also going to be talking about some new statistics, Steve, Pat, that were just released by the Barna Group and the American Bible Society about the state of the Bible and how Americans view the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk and unpack that a little bit. But, you know, in our previous program, we talked about how heaven is real. Mm-hmm. And the movie that has just come out that is, I mean, it's crushing, you know, the Hollywood out there is doing really, really good. Yeah. And I think they've made double their budget. They've, you know, I think the cost of the movie was like $12 million, and they made something like $26 million already.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of interest. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of interest. It's about a four-year-old boy who had an out-of-body experience. He was, I believe, dying in the hospital operating room. And he saw heaven, saw Jesus, and he had many other encounters that a four-year-old boy no way could have known. And it's interesting that I presently right now have a four-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And I can understand. She has the capability of dialoguing. We're driving in the car yesterday, and she's talking a storm to me. And I'm amazed at the stuff that she's saying. And still, a four-year-old child is so very innocent. She was telling me how she was riding a bike in the backyard. I said, so do you want to ride the car? And she said, you want to drive the car? She goes, no. I can't drive the car. You know, it's just hilarious. Yeah. And so, you know, this four-year-old boy, Colton, I believe, Colton Burpo, and now he's like 16.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure we'll have this segment related for you to this one where you actually can see Colton singing a really beautiful song. Mm-hmm. He really, really loves you.
That's
he
right.
really, really loves you. And the boy can sing too. He can sing. So really exciting. But you know, there's a lot of interest in the afterlife. There's a lot of interest in heaven, and and in particular, people like the idea of going to heaven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You talk to a lot of folks.
Goodness, so yeah.
They like that idea. You know, they
kind of like it.
They like it. And in fact, Barna Group released some statistics that found out that basically 76% believe that heaven exists. 76% of Americans believe that heaven exists, but 71% said that they believe that heaven was real. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is what people believe. And our conclusion in one of our previous program about heaven is real is that, listen, people believe it, it's time to get them there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They believe that it exists. It's time to get them there and to show them, rather, how they can go there and get there. But also too, I mean, it's important to share that hell is real too.
Yeah.
Hell is real too. In fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did really of any other topic, more than he did of heaven. And why? Because he doesn't want nobody to go there. You know, he doesn't want anybody to go there. But this is such an interesting topic. And we also talked, which is really interesting, how all these things are kind of converging about the stigma of the gospel, which is amazing.
That's powerful.
Amazing. But what's interesting is that a lot of times people avoid talking about hell because of the stigma that's associated with that. And so they avoid talking about it. And we're going to share some statistics with you that are really going to kind of help shed some light and you know, unpack this thing. But 71% of Americans believe that hell is real, yet in the same research, in the same polling, Steve, just half of 1% believe that they're going there.
Wow.
Okay, let's talk about this. 71% believe that hell is real, yet just half of 1%, right?
Yeah.
Believe that they're actually going there. So, you know, I just got a question. Who is then going to hell? I mean, who is going to hell? If just one half, and why did Jesus die if just, you know, one half of 1% is going there? It's like, hello, we have a problem, Houston. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's an issue here, and we really need to talk about it. I mean, God's desire is that for no one to go to hell. In fact, in 1 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. I know this firsthand. He is patient with you.
Oh, yeah,
you.
All day, brother. Very, very patient.
Yes. Not wanting anyone to perish. Think about that. Not wanting anyone, not one person to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is God's desire. He doesn't select some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. I'm sorry. I don't know where you heard that. But he doesn't select. He gives you a choice. Mm-hmm. And the word of God here plainly says, not wanting anyone, not anyone to perish. And so we need to give people the opportunity and be able to share with them, listen, not only does God love you, not only does God have a plan for your life, not only does he want to forgive your sins, but he wants to redeem you. When he redeems you, you're going to be in heaven with him forever when your time on this earth passes. When your time here passes, you're going to be with him forever, and you don't have to go to hell.
That's right.
Because hell is real. I mean, it's a real, real place. There are real demons in hell. Mm-hmm. There are real, the devil is in hell. I heard someone say, "You're trying to scare hell into me." No. Let me explain something to you.
Get out of you.
Yeah, let me explain something to you. It says you in hell are the most evil, ferocious, demonic, possessed folks that you had. I mean, that ever encountered and walked the face of the earth. Murderers, killers, rapists. I mean, just, and everybody else. But the way the person was describing it, and you're going, you know, you may not be a murderer or a killer, but you're going to be down there with them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be down there with them. If you thought prison was bad, listen, no comparison. Okay, because there will be no guard to protect you. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a description that the Bible tells us that I could, you know, when you just meditate on certain things, you think about what type of pain. I mean, horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, horrific, horrific, horrific. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to torment and torture you. And he hates you because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And I think one of the grave dangers that we can fall into, and many in the church have, is to preach a cookie cutter, ooey gooey gospel that says, everybody, just come on in, line up, get your tickets, get your popcorn, get your tickets, and come to heaven. Right. Just get your come on in, just say, I believe. Come on in and say, I believe. Come on in and say, hey, it's not like that. It's not hard to get in, but it's not like that either. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to confess your sin. You have to believe that Jesus exists. Mm-hmm. You got to receive him in your heart. And then you got to take up your cross and follow him. You know, take up your cross and follow him. This is important because the gospel is not a get out of hell, free card. Believe and get out of hell free card. It's this is not how this works. You need to be able to receive him and embrace him and walk with him, making him your Lord, making him your Savior. And so very, very, very important. But what I think what happens oftentimes is that, and this was came out in a study, listen to this, Pat, is that many committed born-again Christians believe that people have multiple options for gaining entry into heaven. Yeah. It's like, what's it, you're a Christian and you believe what? You say you're a Christian, you think that people have many avenues? There's only one way. Jesus said of himself. I mean, you can say there's a lot of things you don't understand. Understand what Jesus plainly speaks about. Mm-hmm. I like to say he speaks English. He speaks many languages, but I understand English, you know. He says, you know, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. I'm not a way. I am the way. Mm-hmm. No man comes to the Father except through me, the door, the gate, me. And so what they personally say is that, you know, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my way to go to heaven. But you know, hey, whatever you believe, I mean, hey, if your culture says that, you know, believe in a stone or you can believe in this false God and this false God and this false God. I mean, these are audacious claims that Jesus says. These are bold statements. I'm the way and there's no other way through me. And that's why we're talking about the stigma that's associated with the gospel. You know, if you don't understand what you've committed to, if you're not passionate for the Lord and you're looking to make friends, then you're going to run away from the gospel divides. It divides those that don't want to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It divides. Make no mistake about it. And I had this thought that just really just, I mean, I was just soaking on this because it was just deep, because I've seen this so many times, and I'd love to hear what you guys say about this, but so many Christians are comfortable having friends that they don't say anything to them about Jesus and witnessing to them. And the question, you know, that I have is that are you comfortable with having a friend at the expense of Jesus losing a soul? Are you comfortable of having a friend to the expense that Jesus is going to lose a soul? Because you'll never mention that to Jesus to them again. So it's like, you're okay with that being your friend and that person going to hell because you don't talk to them about Jesus? And it goes to ask a question, what kind of friends are we having? I mean, listen, he didn't say just to be friendly to sinners. It's okay to have friends that are sinners if you are leading them to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And you know, being a witness to them and loving on them. And because that's the reason why we want to be friends with folks. We want to enjoy their company, but we want to help them. We want to assist them. You know, life is not worth living outside of Jesus Christ. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how hell is real and how God allows us to partner with him, giving them the opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of him and walking with him. Let's do this. Let's walk with him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, quote, just a mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, remember the jury comes in and they The judge, order in the court. They open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in. And Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of Him. And secondly, you might not even know Him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were just talking before the break about how, you know, great excitement right now because of this movie Heaven is Real, and people are, you know, are flocking and seeing the movie, which is great, and it's, you know, stirred a lot of conversation about heaven and wanting to go there. Listen, heaven's a beautiful place and I cannot wait to be there. You know, I'm, when I pass, don't mourn, you know, because I'm with Jesus. Life is grand, life is good, you know what I mean? Like Paul said, hey, absent, I'm there with Him, here, fruitful labor, you know, God, wherever you want me to be at that moment. But while we're here, let's take as many people as we can with us. You know, you never see a U-Haul behind a Hertz. Did you know that, Pat? You don't see a U-Haul behind. When it's time to go, you can't take this stuff with you. And we're not going to take anything with us. The only thing that we're going to take to heaven are souls. That's the only thing we're going to take. And let's take as many as we can. The goal here is what? Heaven full, hell empty.
That's always
the case, you know, and some people was like, you know, oh, evangelism, and all they talk about is souls, you know, it's all you talk about. Is there anything else but soul saving, people coming to Jesus? Is there anything else?
Tell you what, man, when we stand before Him, the only thing that matters is what we did for Him.
Stand before Him, yeah, absolutely, but think about it. I mean, try that argument with Jesus. Jesus, all they wanted to keep talking about was just souls and Jesus and people coming to heaven. Safe to say, Jesus would be okay with that message. In fact, I mean, that, you know, probably more comfortable with that message than probably 50 promises or a better you, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? He did die for us and gave His life for us. I think that this is a message that He would greatly support, and which is give your life to Him. Give your life to Him. And when we're talking towards the end of our break, beginning of our break, rather, we were saying how there's some statistics and some polling that indicates that there are Christians, Steve, that believe, committed Christians, that believe Jesus is their way, is the way to salvation, and He is, but they're not as convinced that for others He's their way too, that whatever they believe, hey, this is what I believe in Jesus, but if you believe... And that cannot be further from the truth. Not only that, but God doesn't have a different criteria for other people, nor do you have the right to falsely represent Him as He does. You know what I mean? If you're going to tell people how to get to heaven, you need to tell them what Jesus says and what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. But you were saying something in the break, Steve, that was so powerful.
Yeah, there was, as you were talking about that, as far as, like, are we more comfortable with having a friend than at the cost of Jesus losing a soul? And it just made me think about Leonard Ravenhill said that, you know, there are a million ways to go to hell. There's only one way to go to heaven. Mm. And that's a lot of
powerful.
People, and it just makes you think. And he says, you know, what do you have to do to go to hell? He says, do nothing. Just coast along. Yeah. Just do nothing. And it's just like, there are so many distractions. We're doing all these things, and it's just like we don't even realize that, like, okay, are we doing it for the one thing, for Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, you think about people, the hours spent in researching, buying a vehicle, buying a TV, purchasing a new home, going on your Disney trip, and all this stuff that's spent for that, and yet we don't have enough time to research the things of eternity, the things that matter. I want to caution you, in all of your research and all your time of looking for things on the internet and all that, take time, not search the internet, but take time to settle the question, have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Do I have religion? Do I have Jesus? Do I have a good idea, or do I have him? Do I know him? And more importantly, does he know me? So yeah, settle it. And many people are concerned today about living this life. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat, they want to live life to the fullest. They have a bucket list, and, you know, they want to do all this stuff before they die. And it's like, really? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. It's not that important. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one, capital O here, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Think about that. It's not about this physical. It's, you know, it's about our eternity. And, you know, Jesus speaks quite plainly. He says, I have no idea. I have no idea why so many people are confused about the things of the Bible. What does the Bible mean? What does the Bible say? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spend some time there, and you'll read the words of Jesus. Because Matthew 7 says, hey, listen, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, on that day, did we not prophesy miracles? The list goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But the end of that says, and I will tell them
plainly.
Plainly.
Yep.
Okay, plainly. Without mixture. Simple. Here it is, right? I never knew you. Depart from me. Jesus would say that, yes, because this is a real relationship. Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand.
Wow.
And we want to encourage you today that settle this once and for all. Know in the depths of your heart, listen, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your co-pilot. He's not, you know, this person in the cloud. He's real. He's real.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves you.
That's right.
And he was willing to leave the awesome place of heaven to bring you there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to lay down all of his godness, if you will, to walk the face of this earth as a man, to identify with you. When I think about that, Pat, and I think about, wow, Jesus, you were willing to do that. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. You would leave everything of who you are just so that you can identify with me. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every single way, yet without sin. I mean, he is a high priest that's able to sympathize and empathize with what we're going through, because we're just mere clay. And he's our representative to the Father. And he can go and say, I know, Pat. I know what he was. I know, John Osteen. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's one thing to say, I'll pay the price. But it's another thing to be able to have the integrity to be able to cash the check that you write. I mean, a lot of people, I'll cover that. Do you even have money? Put your hand down. You can't cover this. He's like, yeah. I'll cover that. I'll pay for that. I'll pay for it. Do you even have a checkbook in there? It's like, oh, you don't have the ability to pay. Not only did Jesus say, I'll pay that debt, but he says, I have the integrity and my payment is good.
That's right.
In fact, in a previous segment, we talked about him being the high priest and the sacrifice. Not only was he the ultimate payment that dealt with sin once and for all. So not only was he willing to write the check, Pat,
mm-hmm.
He knew that he had what it took for that check to be good.
He That's was right. the transaction.
Right? He knew that. But then there was no one worthy, Pat, who was able to handle the transaction. There was no one worthy enough to be able to make this payment go through. So not only was he the payment, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that John the Baptist said, behold, there he is. There is the one who takes away the sin of the world. But he was also the high priest at the same time. I want to tell you today, listen, if you are away from God, if maybe you might have known God before and you've walked away from him, maybe you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life. You don't have a definitive moment where you said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my very best friend, and I will lay down my life for you. I want to encourage you. You can do that today. Receive him into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life. Not just Savior. Give your life to him. Your Lord, boss, king, ruler of my life, and I will live for you all the days of my life. We did that. Listen, you can find more about our story at meetmyfather.org, and you can do the same. We encourage you. Come into the family. Come to heaven. Come be with Jesus. Hell's no place for you. Jesus wants to be with you for eternity. Come on. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ and just hearing ourselves from the Lord and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-mm. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing and that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go
make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me today to encourage you is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. And, of course, Steve Kalischewski.
And then hello, hello.
And hello, hello to you, too.
And hello.
Hamna. Well, my goodness, we are four programs back to back. You don't want to miss them. Of course, go to VFNTV.com and go to The Torch, and you can continue to follow us in all the many different ways. Don't forget the marathon weekend. Where you can have back-to-back-to-back-to-back VFN radio, everything that was shared during the week. And, of course, listen, while you're listening and you have a chance, text us. Text VFN TV 228-22828. Let me see that again. Text VFN TV 22828 to sign up for our newsletter. That's a great way to get the newsletter. It comes out every single week, The Torch. And, of course, you can also go to VFNTV.com, and you can go all the way to the top to the menu, go to the button that says newsletter, sign up, and fill it out, and you'll get it every single week in your inbox. Great, great way to stay connected. Well, you know, in this program, we want to talk. We just, you know, got so much to share with you, but we have an interesting testimony. In our previous programs, we were talking about how heaven is for real. But we also shared that hell is for real too, and Jesus came so that we can be saved to be with Him in heaven, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell.
That's right.
And so, but we did speak about that reality, because you do have a choice. Remember that it is a choice. No one is the defaulted going to heaven, and there is no default setting to hell. You have a choice to play in this. Mm-hmm. But we want to share with you a testimony about an actor, Steve. Mm-hmm. Who had the opportunity to evangelize to Brad Pitt. He got fired as a result of it.
Right.
But you got to hear this, man, because he has a passion to save, to help lead, rather, people in Hollywood, in the movie industry, to the Lord. This is his passion. He's a missionary to Hollywood.
Wow.
We want you to listen to his testimony. It's a little bit of, you know, length, but you're going to be totally interested in it, because he shares some really great insight. Listen up.
So if you were going down to Hollywood to start an acting career, would mission work be the first thing on your mind? I don't think so. It probably wouldn't naturally occur to most people that, hey, this is a mission field, but Hollywood is very much of a mission field.
Yes, it is.
And our guest now is Steve Cha, and he's written a book called Hollywood Mission Possible. And it's not about redeeming the movie industry, it's about redeeming people.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the program, Steve.
So good to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Could you just set the groundwork for us? How'd you get involved in acting? Why did you want to do that, and how did you do that?
Well, growing up, I've always wanted to be a film director, and that's the goal that I've chosen since I was in high school, and I worked through even college to try to get to that goal. But unfortunately, things didn't work out, and I had to actually turn a different route to get into the Hollywood field. So I decided to enter into Hollywood as an actor or background artist, so that I can get my foot into the door and kind of get to know the system and get to meet the people to hopefully establish my connections. And it was actually in there, in September of 2007, that I met a Christian on the set of a TV show called Life. His name is Jonathan Kahn. And he was going around preaching the gospel to everybody so fearlessly.
Now, was he an actor also?
Yes, he was. And he came up to me and he shared his testimony with me about how he got saved and how the Lord is using him in the mission field to bring the gospel to everybody in Hollywood. And he told me about how he even evangelized famous celebrities like Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford, Dan Aykroyd, and so many other names. And I was just very intrigued, and I was very moved, and I knew that I was doing something in my life that was not what God wanted for me as a Christian, that he wanted me to participate in the Great Commission. That's the calling of all Christians. So he gave me some resources, or Jonathan gave me some resources, and after I took a look at them, which were from the Living Waters Ministry, Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron's Way of the Master TV show.
Right, Way of the Master. They can see it here on Cornerstone Television every week.
Yeah. And after I saw all the material and I saw the full depth of the gospel message, I was really moved. And that changed the whole course of my life. And then from that point on, I wanted to go and do what Jonathan and what Jesus did, which is to go out and preach the gospel to all creation. And ever since then, I've brought the gospel to not only like crew members and background artists, but even to celebrities like Tori Spelling, Brad Pitt, Kiefer Sutherland, Freddie Prinze Jr., and the list goes on.
Well, tell me how you got started then. What was your first move in that regard?
Well, it's there's different strategies when you go on set, but usually you would just go up to them, approach them, either when you have some downtime during the set or maybe even afterwards when the whole shoot wraps up. And you just introduce yourself, and then you can either start by giving them a gospel tract, which I usually do to break the ice, or you can just casually ask them, do you have a Christian background? Or what do you think is going to happen, you know, when people die? And then from there, people usually open up and start sharing what they believe.
Now, I imagine that the set is not usually the place for evangelism, and I imagine that there's a lot of prohibitions on walking up to stars, even if you just want to talk to them.
That's true.
Let alone talking to them, giving them material. What was your experience there?
Well, I can tell you one story about my evangelism experience with Brad Pitt, and this happened on the movie Moneyball in August of 2010. And I approached Brad Pitt at the end of the day because I wanted to evangelize him, and he was in a rush to really get out of there, so I'm thinking, maybe I should at least give him a tract so that he can read the tract and hopefully get saved, or there will be a seed that's planted. So I gave him one of these million-dollar bills, and this is the one with Tom Hanks, but there's also one with Brad Pitt on it too. So I just said, hey, Brad, here, this is for you, a little tip. And Brad Pitt was looking at it. He was so shocked. He was like, wow, what is this? What is this? Yeah, then I said to him, well, that's you on the picture. You know, take a look at the message in the back whenever you get a chance. So he says, all right, I definitely will. So then he revved up his golf cart and just went straight back to his dressing room. And I thought everything was great since his reaction was so positive. But then about a week later, I got a message from my casting agency stating that I got fired. And they wouldn't even tell me the reason why.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. That's pretty.
And, you know, that's kind of, you were really crossing a kind of an invisible line in Hollywood, right?
Yes. It just pretty much shows you how the gospel is received in Hollywood and what you can expect for sharing your faith, whether it's in Hollywood or in the world.
In your experience, are there very many Christians in Hollywood? Are there Christians there? And if they're there, are they very active in sharing their faith?
Well, there are some Christians there. Of course, there are some Christians. But the question is, are a lot of them real Christians? Are they actually going out and doing what God commands them to do, which is to seek and save the lost? And based on my observation, I haven't really seen too many people going around sharing their faith except Jonathan Kahn, who I met and who influenced me. And I do know that there are a few people working behind the stages trying to get that done. But as of right now, that's what I'm trying to do, is to encourage more people to step up and boldly share their faith so that more celebrities and just everybody in Hollywood can be saved.
Well, tell us about what your book is, Hollywood Mission Possible. What is it about?
Hollywood Mission Possible is pretty much an autobiography about my life as a missionary in Hollywood, and a little bit about my upbringing, but mostly about my life and about how I went around preaching the gospel to all these famous celebrities, shared stories from all these names that I just listed previously, and to use it as a platform to inspire Christians on how to evangelize themselves, to set a model and a structure to show them how to conquer fear, how to equip themselves to actually know what to say to these people and how to approach them to share the gospel.
You know what I love about it is it's almost like another country that doesn't allow the gospel or something.
Yes.
It's this people group, this unreached people group, these celebrities.
Yeah.
And
I'm
sure you've witnessed to your coworkers and extras and people as well. But there's this this invisible wall that says, don't go here.
Yes.
But they're people too. They need the gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more with Steve after a short break, and we're going to talk about how does a Christian begin witnessing? Because, you know, maybe we're not all in Hollywood, but we're all called to participate in the Great Commission.
I would like to ask you, Stephen, what most Christians do have trouble witnessing. Why is that? What's the problem with us?
Well, they say that the two main reasons that Christians have problem witnessing is, number one, is fear. And number two, they just don't know what to say. They're not equipped. And fear is a very real issue that I've struggled with throughout my life. And even right now, fear is something that we will all struggle with as Christians to share our faith, because we anticipate the insults, the persecution, and possibly even death in the worst case scenario. So fear is something that you just have to pray to the Lord about, to lift from your heart and to be so filled with the love of the gospel that it will just help you overcome your fears so that you can just dive into the water and just bring that gospel message to somebody. And of course, you do need to get trained in the word too, so that you'll know what to say to these people, not saying things that are wrong or heretical, obviously.
It's important.
Well, you know, do you think really catching a vision of how God sees things really helps? Like really understanding that, hey, this is for eternity. This isn't just a nice thing to do, to go to church. This decides where we spend eternity.
Yes, the issue of eternity is a very, very real issue that we have to all think about as Christians. And that's why we evangelize people, so that they can get saved. Because one day, like the Bible says, that we're all going to stand before God. We're going to get judged for all the times that we have transgressed His law. And if we are guilty, we'll end up in hell or the lake of fire forever. And if that's a very big reality, if that's really going to happen, then we have to really have a sense of urgency to reach out to the lost, to do it with fervency and passion, so that we can pull them from that road that's leading to destruction. And that's one of the main factors that should motivate all of us Christians every day, whether it be with family, friends, or even strangers we meet all around.
You know, that word witness is a big word.
Yes.
And it has a lot of fear and trepidation to it, as you were saying. But also, you could witness to someone by your very life, can't you?
Well, there's a sense of using your life as a testimony in terms of being salt and light to individuals, to the community. But your life itself will not get forth the gospel, because people will not understand the gospel just by looking at your life. They'll think you're a nice guy, possibly. Mm-hmm. They'll think that you're well-mannered, but they won't really see what exactly it is that you have to offer, really, that makes you distinguishable. And that's when you actually have to open your mouth, or at least give them some form of communication to get the message to them, so that they can have the opportunity to respond to that gospel message. And hopefully, if they come to repentance and faith and they become born again, that the Holy Spirit will enter into their lives and to change them and to make them into that same person as well, in Christ-likeness.
You know, I've always thought that. I've heard people say before, well, you know, I just want to live the life. I want to live the life of Christ in front of people and really demonstrate the gospel. And absolutely, we should do that. But you're right. They're not going to connect that until we open up our mouth and say something about Christ and about the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the issues that you'll deal with a lot of times in the churches, is that people are afraid to witness very boldly to people, and they'll say that I'll just witness with my life. But that's another way of saying I don't want to witness to them.
Yeah, I'm too chicken to talk.
Yeah.
You're listening to Steve Cha, an actor, a believer, a soul winner, an evangelist, share about his mission field in Hollywood. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about this more Lord. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. You know, today, Pat, today is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I hope, I mean, I
Have
really...
Have you made some arrangements?
I'm getting on you right now. I hope that you are prepared this year. You know, I mean, if Chris had a mic, I mean, you know, listen, there's a couple tips. She doesn't want a vacuum cleaner, okay?
Who, Chris?
Tracy doesn't want a vacuum cleaner.
Chris, you don't want a vacuum?
Tracy don't want a vacuum cleaner this year. She don't want an iron. What huge plans?
Actually, she does want a vacuum.
Oh. Tracy, I'm sorry. Tracy, I'm sorry. She, not for Valentine's Day. What smooth things you have up your sleeve for today? Do you... Anything you want to share?
I can't talk about it. She might be listening.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Valentine's. We're going to let you off on
that
one.
What you got going on?
Hey, you don't worry about this here. She has a special surprise coming.
Come on, Rico. What's up? What do you got?
She's got a special surprise coming, my Valentine. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking forward to...
Yeah, you forgot.
No,
tell the truth.
I didn't forget. I didn't forget. Not me.
You know who's Rico Suave now.
We know who's Rico Suave. Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Greg pulls all the stops out.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Don't
Rico.
Let him fool you now.
Oh, no. Hey.
He's got skills.
No, I know he's got skills. I've seen him in action. I've been seeing him for a long time. He's smooth. Cool. Chris is not far behind him, you know. But Chris will bust out a song. He'll get on one knee in a minute. He's not shy. So, I mean, if he could only talk right now. But you know who has us all beat?
Who's that?
Reverend Wallace Lee of New Jersey. Now, Reverend Wallace Lee is 87 years old. And his wife, Sadie, she's 104 years old. And Reverend Wallace in New Jersey? I mean, it is reported by
allegedly.
The Star Ledger, allegedly, that Reverend Wallace here not only buys his wife flowers and candy, but he went to the mall and got her some Chanel No. 5 perfume. Ooh-wee. And I'm like, Reverend Wallace, I mean, come on, 87 years old, 104. These folks,
wow.
And they were just recently married a couple of years ago. He believes in keeping the fire hot there. He was previously married for 50 years, and she was previously married for 24 years, and both of their spouses have passed away. And she said he caught her eye, and she was concerned that she was robbing the cradles, and she was 104, and he was 87. But she ventured out and said, "I'm going to get that man because I want that man."
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're just listening and viewing, and we'll make this available for you on The Torch. Stephen Cha, evangelist, soul winner, missionary to Hollywood, share some of his experiences as he wanted to get into the movie industry and thought he'd get in as a producer and said, well, I'll get in a different way, maybe become an actor. And he realized and had an encounter with another believer. See, it's amazing when believers, you know, come together, you know, things should happen, you know what I mean? And he was so charged and stirred by this brother's life and passion and how he was leading people to the Lord and witnessing to them, that he said, man, I need to be doing that too. I want to be engaged. I want to win people to the Lord. And so he set out to do that. And he shares about one encounter where he was working on the set of the movie Moneyball with Brad Pitt. It's a baseball movie. And there was a track with Brad Pitt's face on it, the actor. And he went up to Brad Pitt and gave him the track
and said, "Hey, you know, I want to share something with you." He saw, you know, he was leaving, so he seized the opportunity and ran out there and gave him the track. And mm-hmm. I'm sure he would have spoken to him. As you could you could see he's not shy and he knows what to say. But he gave him the track, and lo and behold, sometime later he was let's just say he was removed from his position, and no one no one knows if that was the case. But hey, you know, add him up. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. But what I thought about was today. I mean, you know, he looks like he had no problem with that. And if you probably asked him, I just based on hearing his heart and what he had to share, I think he'd probably do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know, today you wonder if most Christians, if they met a Hollywood star, would they be enamored by them, or would it be they be broken for their soul?
Right.
You know, it's like that's not the time necessarily for an autograph. You know, it's not the time. Are you looking to get autographs, or are you looking to say, "Wow, this is my opportunity to"? Asked them about the Lord. And I remember a couple times where my son and I saw one baseball player, and we said, and we just missed the opportunity. We met a New York Mets in Philly, and we just missed it. And we said, and we both said, if we ever get the opportunity again, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And sure enough, we met R.A. Dickey later, a pitcher for the Mets, and gave him an I Abide baseball and taught him about the Lord, and it was beautiful. But I think about another time where I was on a sabbatical seeking the Lord, and I was about, I don't know, a couple hours away from home, and I was checking into this hotel, wanted to spend some time with God alone, and I used to listen to rap music, you know, before I knew the Lord, and lo and behold, I'm getting my stuff out of the car. It's a long drive. I'm getting ready to get in, and I see this big commotion, all these folks coming out of the hotel, and it was the rap group 2 Live Crew. And they're getting ready to get into this van.
When was this?
This is way back some time ago. And they're piling in. And so I'm like, bing, 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 this is my moment, you know.
Right.
So they're piling in, and I talked to one of the guys, and I said, "Man, I used to listen to your music. Let me tell you what happened in my life." And I just started giving my testimony and telling about the Lord. And his eyes were, I mean, just bugging.
Like saucers.
Oh, my goodness. And it was like he was paralyzed. The van was open. All these people were jumping in, and they were like, "Come on, let's go." And he's like standing there, and like practically apologized and got in the van and left. But it was like one of those split moments. Mm. But he heard it.
Amen.
And I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by what Steve, you know, Cha has done. And I think it's good for all of us to seize the moment. Listen, we have one time to pass through this earth. And God has allowed us to, you know, our paths to cross, you know, certain people in our life. There's what, 6 billion people, 7 billion people on the face of the world, right?
Yeah.
And so if you live in a certain place or work in a certain place or go to school in a certain place or live in a certain place or shop in a certain place, rest assured, those are the folks that, hey, you've been allowed to cross paths. So
that's right.
What you going to tell them? What you going to tell them? Steve told them about the Lord, and that was really good.
Amen. Yeah, to me, I just think about it, it's exciting, just like what you're saying before. It's just like there was a specific moment that you saw Two Live Crew, and there was a season of an opportunity. I don't want to miss that quote, but it's just like there's a specific time,
right?
And you think about that. That has always encouraged me, because you think about it, that God says, you know, there's exact places that God has for us, and so often it's just like we think about the fact that, you know, we want to go to Africa, or we want to go to some other far nation and minister to people. You're just like, what about the cashier at the grocery store? Mm-hmm. What about the lady that lives next to you? What about that same person that you see at the gas station? It's just like God loves them too. Mm. And it's just like if you have said yes to Jesus, you have the answer inside you. Jesus is inside you. Mm-hmm. God has placed you there to be there, to be at that moment. And I just think about a lot of times people are just like, you know, I want a divine encounter with a Brad Pitt. And it's just like, God loves the person next to you just as much as he loves Brad Pitt. And it's just like they're a celebrity in Jesus's eyes.
Come on.
And it's just like your neighbor, your coworker, whoever you're with, it's just like that's a divine encounter. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And the small communities that we live in, nothing's by accident. Nothing is by accident.
That's powerful. You know, you want to have the heart of Jesus. You want to have a heart of compassion. It's probably one of the most important ingredients to be a soul winner. I mean, it's what I've heard Steve Hill say for many, many years, as I've sat for many, many of the revival meetings from the beginning to the end, and he always talked about having compassion. I'm so amazed how people write off people so quickly, and it's like, no, Jesus died for that person right there. That person, he died for them, and he wants them to be with him forever. And when we have eyes of compassion and allow God to work through us, you know, it's still, you know, WWJD, but instead of what would Jesus do as believers, it's rather what are we going to allow him to do through us.
Right.
You know, be his eyes, be his hands, be his mouthpiece. And I like what, you know, he was being interviewed and said, what are some of the hindrances to, you know, evangelizing and witnessing? And he named two really important ones. And the one was fear. And that's a huge one. And it's like, what is there to be fearful about? You know, and oftentimes people are fearful of being rejected, fearful of not being liked. And the thing you have to determine in your heart that if you love the Lord and you're in love with him, do you want the praises of man over the praises of the Lord? You want to ask yourself these questions. It is worth putting yourself out there and doing what you can do to share the gospel, the love of God with them. You'll never know. Don't assume that people don't want to know. People are hurting every single day. And oftentimes, the ones that may pretend that they don't need them are the ones that need them the most. Today, look for that opportunity. Maybe it's the cashier. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the guy that you're working with or the girl that you're working with. Tell somebody today about Jesus, that he loves them, that he wants to come into their heart, that they can be with him forever. Let's do it together. Heaven full, hell empty. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.